Too Much Love Will Kill You, Just As Sure As Not At All, by Lyra 348, read by Lyra 348. Summary: what really happens to the plants Crowley takes away? Notes: this fic was supposed to be called Kill Me With Kindness, but I left it in the Bentley for too long. Crowley didn't actually shred his underperforming plants. Oh no, that would be too kind. He gave them to Aziraphale. It was the perfect solution, because it made Aziraphale smile, and because it was the worst punishment the treacherous plant could get. A swift death by a shredder? Nah. Let them suffer in Aziraphale's care. The angel was an expert at killing things with kindness. Maybe he had, originally, simply not wanted to kill them himself. Or maybe not kill them at all. But none of that can be proven. The plants generally didn't stick in the bookshop for longer than a month or two. When Crowley asked about them, Aziraphale made a panic noise and blushed, acting like he did any time a certain flaming sword was mentioned. The angel couldn't lie to save his life. Because of the shiftiness, Crowley actually didn't know what fate has exactly befallen his rebellious plants. He found out one day, after an evening of heavy drinking in the back of the bookshop. Crowley didn't often enter Aziraphale's apartment. He suspected neither did Aziraphale. When they wanted to meet together in a more intimate setting, they met in the bookshop. Aziraphale didn't sleep much, and despite his love of food, he didn't actually know how to cook, so everything he needed was in the bookshop. But Crowley loved sleep. And, well, the sofa at the back of the bookshop was just not comfortable to sleep on. Aziraphale couldn't expect him to drive home after so much wine, could he? Never mind that Crowley could sober up any time he wanted. You do have a bedroom, right? Aziraphale smiled.
Well, of course, my dearest.
You're welcome to use it if you're so tired. They both knew Crowley wasn't ever tired, just like Aziraphale wasn't ever hungry. Crowley assumed Aziraphale was too polite to point that out. Well, if you insist, Crowley mumbled, hissing slightly. He really did have quite a lot to drink.
Come along, then.
Aziraphale led the way, not waiting until Crowley scrambled off the sofa and sauntered, or more accurately, attempted to, after him. The apartment was small and cozy, even if it felt a little less lived in than the shop. Still, it was much more comfortable than Crowley's flat. Come to think of it, he wasn't sure if he'd ever actually stepped foot in the apartment since Aziraphale moved in. Aziraphale opened the door to the bedroom, and suddenly Crowley knew for sure that he didn't.
That's my plant, he said.
Well, not his plant, his plants. Every single one of the plants he's given to Aziraphale was there. He felt a little twitch of pride when a few started to shiver in his presence, but it was buried deep under the bewilderment.
They're my plants, dear. You've given them to me, remember?
Aziraphale was smiling, and Crowley could swear there was mischief in that smile.
But you've killed them.
They seem to be thriving, do they not? Granted, we've had a bit of a setback after the fire. Adam restored them perfectly, but the stress didn't do them well. They're quite all right now, though. You're very good plants, aren't you? Aziraphale cooed, and Crowley could swear the plants preened. Traitors.
I meant before.
Every time I gave you one, they deteriorated. And then they disappeared and you acted so shifty. It's quite hard for a plant to deal with a change of scenery, you know. Especially for plants as stressed as the ones you brought to me. Crowley glared at the plants, but they stood proud. Evidently, they realized that Aziraphale would not let Crowley do anything to them. Or that Crowley would not do something that would distress Aziraphale. They listened to him complain about the angel while they still lived in the flat quite a bit, so it was entirely plausible that they may have come to certain conclusions. All wrong, of course. Aziraphale was full-on smirking now. You bloody bastard, Crowley muttered, and plopped face down on the bed, miracling himself into pajamas. You know exactly why I gave them to you.
I have no idea what you're talking about, my dear. It was quite a thoughtful gift.
Crowley made a noise that was partially muffled by the pillow. It was quite soft. Of course the Zerophil's bed was comfortable.
What was that, dear?
Crowley lifted his head up and glared at the Zerophil. The glare was missing most of the necessary heat, as he lost his glasses sometime after the second bottle and couldn't hide that his eyes were far too soft.
Well, I suppose I should.
Zerophil gestured to the door.
Although,
he paused, the smirk returning to his face. Perhaps I should stay. The plant seemed quite frightened when you entered. Wouldn't want them to worry.
Of course.
Crowley nodded like he understood anything. He didn't. Aziraphale grabbed a nightgown, the kind that reminded Crowley of the things they wore when the world was young, from the dresser and left the room to change. Don't you think this means I've softened up? He said as threateningly as he could manage, which, admittedly, was not a lot. You're Aziraphale's now. That's the only reason I'm leaving you be. But you'd better grow well. You think my yelling is bad? Try dealing with the angels pouting. The plants shivered, as they all remembered Aziraphale's sad face.
Be nice to them, Crowley,
Aziraphale chided him playfully as he entered the bedroom. Crowley was struck by just how domestic this all felt. They've been spending more and more time together since they deserted, which was nice, but not very helpful. Aziraphale climbed after him, miracling the book he was currently reading into his hands.
You're not going to sleep?
Crowley asked, his voice just a little bit whiny.
Oh, I don't think so, dear. I'm afraid I'm not dreadfully fond of the experience. But I don't have to read if the light bothers you.
I'd prefer the dark, but it's all right.
Crowley, who was still technically a snake, did not really like bright light. It was one of the reasons he wore sunglasses so much, after the whole business with demon eyes freaking out humans. He also wore them because they made him look cool. Crowley wasn't cool, but he was mistaken for cool sometimes. Hiding his expressive eyes from Aziraphale wasn't on the list, but it probably should be.
No, I don't want to disturb you.
Aziraphale set his book on the nightstand and turned the lights off with a snap of his fingers. Crowley wondered whether he owned snap-activated lights or if it was a minor miracle. No point in moderation now, he supposed. Not like Gabriel would show up to reprimand him after Crowley's little hellfire breathing stunt. Not that Aziraphale exactly avoided frivolous miracles before that.
The bed is very comfortable for someone who doesn't sleep.
I come here to read sometimes. I may not like sleep, but lying down offers a lot more comfort than sitting up. I think this invention is particularly ingenious. It was all humans, wasn't it?
Crowley couldn't imagine the stuck-up lot from heaven even sitting down. They had at least one chair there, because he remembered being tied to it when he was in Zerophil's body. But it was not exactly comfortable. And demons preferred lounging on thrones and such. Lying down was too vulnerable. All them. They also invented cuddling. Crowley briefly regretted not sobering up, because he wouldn't have brought this up if he wasn't drunk. Even so, he wasn't sure what was he trying to achieve.
Most interesting.
Should try it sometime, don't you think? I've never known you to be interested in human, bodily experiences.
Crowley understood where he was coming from. They barely touched. But he couldn't very well explain that he was afraid if he touched him, he'd never want to stop, could he?
Not all of them, certainly. And keep carn pleasures and all that. But cuddling seems nice. Simple. Like a hug, just one that lasts a lot longer.
They've hugged once or twice before. Mostly briefly in greeting, but on one particularly memorable occasion after they narrowly avoided his corporation, he held Aziraphale like his life depended on it for 46 seconds before his brain caught up with his limbs. He was telling the truth about sex. He knew some demons liked using it to tempt humans, and that even angels would occasionally make the effort, so to speak, but he didn't really see the appeal. He was a bit curious about kissing, but he wasn't quite drunk enough to bring that up. Aziraphale didn't say anything and just scooted closer.
He grabbed Crowley's hand and put it around his waist and then put his own around Crowley's. There was still way too much space between them, both metaphorically and literally, but it was bliss. Crowley buried his face in Aziraphale's chest.
I don't see what the fuss is about. Still, should try for a bit longer, right? The whole, he paused to yawn, experience.
Whatever you say, dear, Aziraphale whispered indulgently, but Crowley didn't hear him. Crowley woke up with feathers in his mouth. It wouldn't be the first time that had happened, but these feathers were white. He thought about the human tales of spiders crawling into their mouths while they slept, and wondered whether it was possible that he ate it off. He realized that was not the case as soon as he felt a hand squeeze his own. Aziraphale.
Morning, my dear.
Oh, how he wanted this. Waking up in the morning, Aziraphale everywhere around him. This sense of togetherness that was entirely different from their usual sense of togetherness.
Well, not morning exactly, but I believe it's the appropriate greeting for when one wakes up, regardless.
What time is it?
Crowley slurred, spitting feathers from his mouth.
He could do without that, but it was a small price for the comfort he received.
Around 3 p.m, he was reading, holding the book in one hand, the other holding Crowley's. It never occurred to Crowley that maybe he should disentangle himself from the angel now that he was awake and the pretense for holding him was gone. Not that their excuses were particularly convincing in the first place.
You didn't have to stay here with me, he said.
I know, but I quite enjoy the comfort. I would have woken you up if you were still asleep tomorrow morning.
Aziraphale stroked Crowley's hand with his thumb. I think we both deserve the rest.
But what about the shop?
Aziraphale chuckled. The shop is doing great without all these pesky customers. I was thinking, anyway, that it might be time to take some time off. Away from London.
Oh.
Crowley didn't know what he was hoping for as he continued to lie there in his best friend's arms. But it was safe to say that his hopes were shattered. He wasn't sure whether it was kind or cruel of Aziraphale to spend so much time and intimacy with him before leaving him behind. But, like he said before, Aziraphale excelled at killing with kindness.
That's nice, he offered.
Sure, they've lived far from each other before, but they've resided in the same general vicinity for centuries now. They haven't spent longer than a few years without seeing each other since Crowley's 100-year nap. They could barely go a week without meeting up. He couldn't imagine being in London alone.
Where would you like to go? Aziraphale asked.
Crowley turned to look at him. His book was firmly shut now, and he was studying Crowley with a peculiar expression.
Well, I don't know.
Not like what he thought mattered anyway.
I thought maybe the South Downs.
Oh. Well, at least it wasn't that far from London. He could find excuses for visiting every once in a while. Unless, of course, Aziraphale didn't wish to see him. But that didn't bear thinking about.
If he would just think about it, he would realize that if Aziraphale didn't want to see him, he wouldn't really be cuddling with him right now. But Crowley wasn't thinking.
A little cottage, my books, the plants, a nice and cozy sofa, a proper kitchen. I've been thinking about learning to cook.
That sounds lovely, Crowley whispered, hiding his face in Aziraphale's shoulder. It really did. It was everything Crowley would ever wish for. A home, an actual home, not like his apartment. Crowley would give anything to be a part of that.
But won't you get lonely? He asked.
He would have. But Aziraphale probably wasn't as codependent.
Why would I get lonely?
Ouch. Guess not.
It's not like I really have any other friends. Other than him, Crowley supposed, And why would Aziraphale hang out with him now? The apocalypse was averted.
We need a bit of a break, don't we?
Robin's salt in the wound wasn't something the angel normally did. He wasn't doing it on purpose, else he wouldn't be smiling like, well, an angel. If you think. His voice was way too meek for a demon, but he really couldn't find it in himself to care.
It'd be a kind of vacation. We'd get away from London and it all.
Curly froze.
We?
Well, yes.
Aziraphale nodded, like it was obvious.
You're coming with me, right?
Curly didn't say anything. He wasn't sure he was physically capable of saying anything.
I really meant for both of us to go the whole time, but now I'm terribly afraid I didn't make that clear enough. That was entirely too presumptuous of me, and I'm sorry if I overstepped. Did I overstep?
He sighed. And when he started talking again, it was slow and soft and not confident at all.
I thought we could go off together.
Curly was capable of speech now, but he didn't want to talk. Instead, he crossed a small distance and kissed Aziraphale.
Oh,
Aziraphale said when they broke apart, cheeks reddening. A smile appeared on his face, slowly at first, and then all at once, brighter than any of the stars Curly put up.
I was hoping that would happen too.
But I didn't think you'd snap until we'd be living together for a while.
Wait, you know how I felt?
Aziraphale laughed and reached his hand to stroke Crowley's cheek. You're not as good as a liar as you think you are, darling.
I wasn't sure if it was wise to act on our feelings. At least before.
But we're free now! You could have just kissed me yourself! Or told me!
Just because I was fairly sure you loved me doesn't mean I was certain.
He looked away.
I was scared.
Well, I do, Crowley said without thinking. He did a lot of things without thinking. More things than he should. And Aziraphale snapped his head back up. Love you, you know? Aziraphale smiled at him like he hung the stars. Which, coincidentally, he did.
I love you too, Crowley.
They kissed again, longer and somehow even more tender this time. After, Curly put his chin on Aziraphale's shoulder. If we're going to live together, there is one rule, though.
You're not allowed to be nice to my plants. Aziraphale laughed. As long as you don't yell at mine, dear. Fine, Curly grumbled. The things I do for love. The end. Thank you for listening.